Hello, everyone. I'm Leslie Cornwell, certified nurse midwife with Midwifery Business Consultation, and I have my good friend Stacy Kruth here with Midwife's Advantage. She's a certified professional midwife. And how long? I think it's been at least 10 years you've had the billing company, Stacy?
Yes, since 2010.
2010. That's what I thought it was. Perfect. So Stacy and I have done a bit video before, and I wanted to go more in detail. Common questions I get asked from midwives, especially with extra procedures being billed, ancillary services, commonly missed codes. I think a lot of the midwives I talk with think of pregnancy, birth, global maternity codes, but there's so many more that just get missed and you're already doing the care. So if you want to expand on that a little more.
Yes, midwives perform a lot of care, and many times they document it. They just fail to bill accurately and capture that revenue. So we want to work together to educate midwives so they can capture the revenue that maybe they're already performing the service, or they have the ability to perform services and they just don't realize it can increase revenue to their practices, and we want to give them that education so they can increase their bottom line.
I guess we can split it up into two parts. Let's dig into the first part of commonly missed codes, especially out-of-hospital midwives, breastfeeding support, home visits, newborn care. If you want to go into the commonly list codes that are sometimes missed and why, and then on average what you see people are missing that they could be capturing.
That could take a long time, but
the basics, something that, yeah, would be, of course, just a teaser enough so that they can call you and get more. So yeah, just more of the common things you're seeing.
For time's sake, many midwives, we see miss the newborn care. They tend to think of the mom and baby as one unit, which they are, so to speak, billing-wise, they are during pregnancy, but once the baby's born, there's separate care to the baby. There's evaluation and management codes that can be billed. When they see a mom for a breastfeeding issue, you know, there's billable codes for the mom's care, because you may be teaching her how to latch a baby or dealing with mastitis or cracked nipples. And then there's billable codes on the baby. You have two patients that are receiving care. And you know, midwives just need to acknowledge this side of the business and bill for all the care that they provide.
Yeah, and I think some of the common things midwives get confused, well, what's included in global maternity care and what's not? And so, yeah, global maternity care, if you want to give the billable definition of what that is and some more examples of things outside of it.
That is prenatal care from the beginning of the prenatal record through delivery up to 13 prenatal visits. If you're monitoring, you know, something additional, blood pressure or preeclampsia status or,
non-stress tests come up a lot. Yeah, if you've got diabetes and you're doing extra things above and beyond normal pregnancy.
Yes, but normal and the global is 13 prenatal visits, and that's one a month till the eighth month, and then two in the eighth month, and four, you know, weekly in the ninth month, and one postpartum visit, usually at 6 weeks. And I found midwives do a lot more postpartum than what is included in the global. And not all of them are necessarily billable, or you might not be paid on it, but you can bill them. And if you have the appropriate diagnosis code, let the payer decide if they're billable. And if your documentation, if you're going just to chat with her and check up on her, you know, that wouldn't necessarily be paid. But if you're concerned about postpartum depression and you're doing the Edinburgh scale and you're screening for postpartum depression, if you document it appropriately, that's billable as an extra postpartum visit that isn't included in global.
I think you bring up a good point of good documentation. Doing like every woman, I mean, the standard of care is recommended every encounter, especially postpartum, to do an Edinburgh score and breastfeeding assessments. I mean, there's so much preventative codes out there, but you have to document. You can't just say, oh, mom and baby are doing good and you did a basic vital sign. You have to give credit for all your education, all the things you've assessed for so that you can get the value. You're doing it in your head. We just have to get it on paper. That's, I think, the biggest challenge I see with the midwives.
But as with anything, once you learn a new habit, and you might have a little cheat sheet at first when you're doing something new, and you look and say, okay, I need to document this, and I'm doing this, this is the proper way to document. And, you know, you do it several times the correct way, then it becomes habit, and it's not difficult, and you can capture those billable moments that you were performing before, maybe not documenting accurately, but that's what your entire business is helping midwives further their education and increase their bottom line for the valuable services they provide. And I don't want to lose track of the fact that I was discussing the global 59400, the CPT code for global care. It's 13 prenatal visits, delivery, which is considered up to 60 minutes for delivery, and one immediate postpartum care. If you have a mom that hemorrhages, or you're checking with a boggy uterus, you're going to have other codes that you can bill. There are also some, it's too long to go into right now, but codes for labor care. The labor care is usually done by the nurses. That's why in the global, the physician comes in many times when the head's crowning. And
the hospital setting, a traditional birth.
Right. So those are some things that midwives many times just lump all together and charge one price. And when you're dealing with cash pay, you know, that's a personal preference. But when you are billing insurance, you should bill for all the billable care you provided and you accurately documented.
Well, I think it's too important to reinforce we do above and beyond what a traditional obstetrician or family practice doctor does in the hospital setting. They don't take care of the baby. They aren't doing extensive labor support. So you have to think of what this code encompasses based on the traditional. We are the outliers. We give high quality care. And there are additional codes that are included outside of that bundle. So I see that a lot where a lot of midwives are like, I need to make more money. I don't want to take extra ladies. And the first thing I always focus on the business side, you're probably paying too much in taxes unnecessarily. And what codes are you currently billing and what you're missing? Those are two easy fixes to increase the revenue for the bottom line. And those are just business model and strategies. So what other great procedures or ancillary services do you see midwives maybe aren't doing or could be adding to their practice that would really help with that bottom line as well?
Many midwives have the equipment to do the hearing screen, and some don't charge extra for that. And the newborn screen, we see, you know, some are charging for that, and others are just, you know, they let it go. As you mentioned before, the non-stress test. A lot of midwives have ultrasounds, you know, regardless of your position on good, bad, or ugly. If you have an ultrasound and you're documenting properly and you're performing the service, you need to bill the accurate codes. You know, I'm familiar with a lot of midwives that have that, the butterfly, the mobile sonogram that goes to their iPhone. And it's if they're already providing that service, it's just a few more baby steps that they can actually realize reimbursement for those services.
I think common other ones, especially certified nurse midwives, if they have a private practice doing hospital privileges, first assisting for C-section, circumcision, there's so many additional values you can create as a one-stop shop for the families. Like, okay, either way, what your position is on circumcisions or being part of it, what's the scope of a midwife? These are additional high quality things we can offer that they're going to get done. Or now the midwife can be part of the C-section, part of the OR team and continue the communication and the safety and an advocates. So I think there's just so many amazing opportunities for midwives within our scope, additional training, and that's part of this teaser of this course that we're coming out with, Ultrasounds for Midwives, and Carolyn Geiger and yourself, we're going to make this phenomenal course for helping to train the procedure, getting the certification, and adding the business side to your private practice. Do you have a lot of midwives at this point doing the ultrasound within their practice, and where do you see it going?
We probably just have about 20% of midwives that offer ultrasound, but I do think the mobile units are becoming more affordable. And with your course, I think documentation for something that a midwife isn't real familiar with, they're intimidated, like, oh, I don't know all the legalities, I don't know what I have to put in. And I know how you've done your other courses, you just break it down and make it easy to learn. They have reference sheets they can refer to. And as I said earlier, once you learn the proper documentation, it's not hard, and no one just knows it. We all have to be taught how to do something. And once you're taught and it's relevant to your practice, it's relevant, you're providing relevant care to your clients. And you know, the steps to ensure that you can, if there's payment to be made on that, you know, those steps aren't difficult. You just have to be taught it. You have to start something new. You know, if you want a different result, you have to do something different at the beginning. And so I'm excited that midwives are always eager and hungry to increase their knowledge and expand their education. You know, midwives, and I know other professions are like that too, but midwives are hungry for knowledge, and they just want to do more and provide a more complete care for their clientele. And I'm excited to be a part of this. I love helping midwives, you know, get the revenue in that they deserve. And I have a mission. I'm a midwife myself, as you are, and I want to help it be financially
sustainable long term. I think you and I are very similar in mindset that midwives are valuable, and we want to make a good, strong business foundation. I think too many midwives, and that's a personal preference, if you want to do it as servitude and more of the passion and a calling, but most midwives are breadwinners. They want vacation, they want retirement plans, they want to be able to at some point sell the value of your business so that that community can still be served. So there's a business component to being a midwife and running a private practice.
No matter how humanitarian your efforts are, you still have to replace tires on your vehicle. You have a cell bill you have to pay. You have to, you know, pay for continuing education, licensing costs, replace equipment, buy a new birth stool, replace a birth tub. Those things, they cost money. And you, midwives just, I want to see them get paid as much as they can. I don't want to leave a penny on the table. I want them to get what is fair and what they've earned, and to make it more sustainable. And, you know, when you can afford a vacation and you can go down and you can buy another vehicle when you need it, it's not, the financial burden isn't so heavy. You don't reach burnout as quickly, and you can refresh and be in the industry as long as you need to be. So that's, you know, that's my motivation. I started this business years ago. I wanted someone else to do it. And it was one of those things, I was like, if insurance pays for doctors, if they have maternity coverage, it should pay for midwives. You know, we're operating in the scope of a practice. And I was basically like, it's not fair, and that it should be fair. And I looked around and hoping someone else would do that hard work, and it came back to me. But it's been a journey. It's been wonderful. I'm very proud of the strides we've made over the last 10 years. And like I said, again, the midwives that are willing to learn new things to get better results.
Well, thank you so so much, Stacy, for your time. What's a great way for them to get a hold of you if they have questions or want to learn more about your billing services with Midwife?
Email is good, and they can just email info@midwivesadvantage.com. And we also have a website, you know, www.midwivesadvantage.com.
Well, thank you so much, Stacy. Have a great rest of your day.
Thanks, Leslie. Bye-bye.